What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Inside our Bobby Belt, we can't take off on a Martin Luther King inauguration Monday.
Holiday.
With the biggest round of the NFL playoffs just taking place. We got Peyton Phillip Russell running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. This is DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And Mark Andrews' name now belongs with...
Let's see. Well, Jackie Smith. There's
Blair Walsh.
Who's the elite? Was it Lee Evans? The Ravens in New England?
I've already forgotten whatever that would have been. Blair Walsh, Jackie Smith, Ernest Biner. It's those names. Scott Norwood.
Alshon Jeffrey, names. New Orleans.
Again, I don't remember what Alshon Jeffrey did.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was Lee. He had the drop against New England in the conference championship would have sent him to the Super Bowl or the next round. Oof. Sean McDermott needs to send him a care package.
It defines his career. Yesterday will define his career, probably. And that's, you don't ever want that to be the case, especially when you've been a Pro Bowl player. Anytime a Pro Bowl player defines their career in a single playoff game, that's either really great or it's about the worst possible thing that could happen.
Well, you know, anybody who had him in fantasy this year knows he sucked anyway. So
first half.
Kiss my butt.
First half of the season for sure. Ravens fans would throw out the name Zay Flowers real quick because of the Zay Flowers fumble. That recently took place. You know what? This made me really happy because growing up in D.C. and always being jealous of the Ravens and the way they did their things, they're always getting the punt block. They're always getting the miracle Ed Reed 104-yard interception return. The Buffalo Bills have been cursed throughout their entire existence. So I was happy for the karma hitting Buffalo.
Yeah, it did. I mean, they finally got some good luck. Listen, they are... They have Superman. They have John Wayne. They have everything you could possibly want.
We have John Wayne. He could be the next head coach.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, this is going to be, this is what it should have been. It needed to be Bills Chiefs. You know, you had to go through, you know, Ravens had their chance last year in the conference championship game. You know, Bills had their chance several years ago. Now it's their turn again.
Let me ask this about Lamar. Does the drive at the end, Mark Andrews, by the way, with a fumble as well in the second half.
Yep.
Is the drive that Lamar orchestrated enough to get him off of the old playoff hook that has been haunting him?
I mean, yes, but no. We know how people don't remember these things. I mean, today it might be, but, you know, a year from now, we're going to forget this.
Minute 33 left. He hits likely. They're down the field. They set themselves up. They get the touchdown. Lamar was awesome on the drive, and at the end, that was his moment. Yeah. And then Andrews cost them the tie.
Lamar fans will remember it. Lamar fans will give him the credit. The casual observer, who are really the ones that, you know, really are the ones that do a lot of the talking, too, are going to be like, nah, it's, at the end of the day, they're going to forget about it. It's a loss. Like, it sucks.
Or will you just go to, like, my group text last night? My brother's like, he still had two killer, crucial, awful turnovers. The interception was just a throw-up, and then the fumble wasn't even caused by Damar Hamlin. Lamar dropped the football that Von Miller picked up.
Yeah, and they scored a touchdown. And so, I mean, that's the thing where the Mark Andrews fumble that occurred, he gave up. They ended up scoring a field goal off of that. The Lamar fumble, that ended up being a touchdown. So I think he played well at the end. The final drive was great. And it's enough to... I don't know if that's enough to get him off the hook. Mark Andrews is probably enough to get him off the hook right now. Is that everybody's going to remember what happened in the fourth quarter with Mark Andrews. They're not going to remember because of the time when it happened as much. History's not going to remember Lamar had the back-to-back turnovers on possessions that cost them points. I mean, that was a swing.
Lamar was not happy again. Turnovers, 3-0 in favor of the Bills, and that's what Lamar wanted to focus on.
Turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnovers can't have that, you know? And that's why we lost the game, because as you can see, moving the ball wonderfully is hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language, but it's annoying. I'm tired of
Tired of this S.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it, across the weekend, it was, you know, the teams that didn't turn it over, you know, they did well. Like the Ravens turned over three times, still scored 25 points. Lions turned over five times, still score 31. Like, that's hard to do. That means like you're scoring on every other dang possession when you turn it over that much.
Of the four matchups, the team with the most yards all lost.
Yeah.
Houston had more yards, KC won. Detroit had more yards, Washington won. The Rams had more yards, Filthy, and Baltimore, Buffalo.
Surprised the Rams had more yards. I guess at the end there, it kind of helped out. They had those two back-to-back drives where, you know, touchdown, Philly kind of nailed it in, touchdown.
I mean, Philly didn't have to move the ball on two of their drives. The ball was right there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me that the Rams did because they had those short fields. That's honestly what saved them. Those short fields on those turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Save them when, like, Jalen Hurts didn't look like he could move.
I mean, look, it was a very strange weekend, but, you know, turnover, you could simplify it down. I mean, turnovers, they killed you.
So that was the late game. Mark Andrews is the GOAT in the bad way of the entire weekend. Here's what happened in game one.
On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Saquon Barkley, 78 yards.
It was a repeat on Eagles radio of their first matchup, Saquon going nuts. And the number one stat that everyone is referencing, laughing at, and crying at in DFW is the Dallas Cowboys are looking from the outside in of an all NFC East championship game. After Washington did what they did, the Cowboys now have the longest conference title game drought in the NFC.
In the NFC. If you had told any Cowboy fan before the year that there was going to be two NFC East teams in the conference championship,
yes,
100% of them would have said, oh, great.
Cowboys in. Made it.
Cowboys Sweet. Made it. There was no chance. I mean, no we knew chance. The Giants were going to make it.
Yep.
All right. And then, like, obviously, rookie quarterbacks generally don't make it. It's like, yeah, all right, man, we're in.
The Eagles, Bobby, have been to 8 NFC championship games since the Cowboys last went to 1. 8!
Are you
with
embarrassed?
Three different head coaches. Three different head coaches. They've been to 8 of them since Jerry and Steven have been back.
Let's just go back to the year this show started. If you just counted NFC championship games since the year this show started, every NFC team has been but the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Every team?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The longest drought outside of the Cowboys is the Bears in 2011. That's the longest streak.
That puts
it into perspective. Yeah. When you started this show, did you think every NFC team but Dallas would get to the title game?
Yeah. We were in high school.
Dude, Saquon has 4 touchdowns against the Rams this year. Every one of the touchdowns was 60 or more. That's a mind-blowing stat. We're now honing in. We may already be there of one of the greatest free agent signings in NFL history.
It's big. Yeah. I mean, both of them really. With Henry was huge too. They've been tremendous. Like, there's no other way to sugarcoat it. Now, will it end? Will the contracts they signed end well? That doesn't matter at this point. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they might, but today, you know, because a lot of people judge things basically at the moment, you know, early on, and it looks tremendous right now.
Yeah, this was yesterday. They carried the ball 34 times. They averaged 8.4 yards per carry. Philly did. Saquon Barkley had the lowest yards per carry of any Philadelphia rusher yesterday with 7.9. I mean,
when you're doing that, that takes all the passing is better out. When you're rushing for 8.5 yards a carry, your efficiency is so high, you have to keep doing it.
What were you thinking on the final drive? Did you think Stafford was going to get it done? They're down 6 with 2:23 left. Puka with the big catch to the 19-yard line, and then we all knew it on draft day. The two most absolutes in the NFC East, well, maybe 3 over the past 10 years. Daniel Jones was going to stink. Everyone was laughing at the Giants getting that pick. CeeDee Lamb fell to the Cowboys. Everyone knew that that was a home run. And Jalen Carter falling to Filthy, as all of us were like, you got to be kidding me. And he was a game wrecker last night, especially on that final drive.
He was fantastic. And that the Philly trench work, I mean, really the trenches yesterday for both teams, like the Rams and the Eagles, those were massive. The Rams, I kept feeling like at the end it was...
They had seven sacks.
I was certain that Stafford was going to go down there and score because, A, the drive before that, he just boop, 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 no problem, gets down the field. Then the next drive starts that way, and it's like, oh, okay, great. Well, this is just going to set up. Karma's going to get me because I've dug in so hard against the idea of Matthew Stafford being a Hall of Famer, and he's going to have a Super Bowl that he's going to go to a conference title game here with some all-time performance in the snow generating these two drives. But I did. I thought for sure when once they crossed the 50, I was like, all right, this is Rams are scoring. They're winning this game.
Absolutely. I thought they were scoring. And that game had everything, man. It had the snow. It had the comeback. Had just, you love snow football. Snow football is without question the best. And it was, that had everything.
Is it?
You are such a gaslighter.
What am I doing?
You are such a gaslighter. I thought you hated things of importance being decided in these types of conditions.
I do. I hate the fact that, because that's not football. You can't do anything out there. So I hate that aspect of it. But the visual is fun.
The visual is great.
The visual is amazing.
But you hate the fact that that game was played like that.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. I hate when the most important games are played when you really can't do anything.
It really is. It is a great debate because all of a sudden, like, you are not the identity of your football team.
You plan your football team to play over the course of 18 weeks, and then all of a sudden, like, it's now you can't do what you're designed to do.
I loved Quincy Avery, the quarterback trainer, yesterday. He had two really great tweets describing...
You gaslit me twice yesterday in your email. The second one coming up later.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear it.
Prime gaslighting.
He says, Quincy Avery says, football played in extreme elements isn't really indicative of who's better at football. It's more about adaptability than skill. Sure, it's dramatic, but it turns the game into something else entirely. And then he says, people who love weather games are the same ones who prefer college football over the NFL. They enjoy the chaos and the idea of football, but miss the precision of ball at its highest level. And I think that's a perfect summation of what that game was
because
yesterday.
Because Jalen Hurts being hurt, how hurt is he, by the way?
Yeah.
It didn't matter that much because Philly could just play ball control, hand it off for something. Maybe they were going to hand it off anyway in the elements, but Jalen Hurts not being able to throw didn't really harm them because of the elements.
Right, it doesn't. And, you know, and look, I mean,
Chris Collinsworth was good yesterday, too. He focused in on Hurts. He's like, all right, are they going to throw the football? And then Sean McVay catching a little bit of heat in Los Angeles because of the lack of no huddle early, and it still felt like things kind of bogged down and broke down there on that final drive.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams did more in the final, you know, two possessions than they had for, I mean, a large part of the game. And you know, Stafford is like, he does have elite arm strength, and that does help when you're playing in kind of crappy weather.
I don't know that I've ever seen... I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but that was one of the bigger momentum turns I can remember seeing in a game where Jalen Hurts is in pain, clearly feels limited. Philly's backed up in their own end, has to punt the ball away, and you feel like Rams are about to score, and then Kyren Williams fumbles that ball, and Philly scoops it up and gets down to the... It's like, man, that flips so fast.
Cost me $12,000.
How?
I was betting on a lot of, you know, higher, lower with... underdog, which Kevin Hagelin talks about here on the station.
Hi, Gene.
And I had minus Cooper Kupp targets lower than six. Well, Cooper Kupp was absent the entire game. Well, the Rams just give the ball away, and then Stafford on the final drive hits him with that. The Eagles, it didn't really cost me 12K. I'm being dramatic. I made a stupid Puka Nakua rushing bet, but it cost me some money. It cost me some money with the Rams just giving the ball away. 877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up on the Frank and the Franco Injury Attorney text line. Thank you all for turning it on, leaving it on, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And now we get to Saturday, one of the biggest NFL upsets ever. And I'm here to defend the Kansas City Chiefs and that they didn't really get cheated like the entire world is crying about. Next on Sean and RJ, and you know we got an update on the Cowboys coaching search. It's a rough final 2 minutes for me. Let's make it better moving forward on the Fan.
Goff has time, throws. Oh, that is picked off! That is picked off by Quan Martin! 25-20! 15! 10! 5! Pick! 6! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Quan Martin!
Commanders Radio with the call from 4-13 to Dan Quinn, 10 former Cowboys, and an NFC Championship appearance. That was the call on Commanders Radio. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on 105.3 The Fan.
You shorted him. 12. There are 12 people that Jerry Jones was cutting checks to last year for the Cowboys that are now going to the NFC title game with the Commanders between coaches and players. 12 people.
A lot.
And it'll be seven assistant coaches, seven former Cowboys assistants taking part in the NFC title game for other NFC East teams. It's pretty sweet.
From 90, it's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. It is. you want a little bit. You want them to suffer a little. You want them to feel it.
I was saying this midway point of the regular season, and it was a little bit scary to say it because you're on the home of the Cowboys. You have Cowboy fans listening, and I told you, I got the both sides of the shoulder talking to me, but that evil side wins out, and you want to see the people that are holding you back suffer.
It's like the Baltimore
game.
And
it feels like all the playoffs now, Cowboy fans are like a mix of embarrassment and revenge of, haha, eat that.
I saw more people on my timeline who are Cowboys fans rooting for Philadelphia and Washington than I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Definitely more Washington. There's some who just still can't bring themselves to root for Philly.
Yep.
But there were a lot of people still going like, yeah, Philly, make this hurt as bad as... It's the Baltimore thing. When they played Baltimore earlier this year, remember how annoyed we were that they came back? And it's like, no, you needed to sit in 28-6. You needed to lose by that much so that you could feel the consequences of your actions. It's the same thing. These are the consequences of their actions. They need to feel them.
The fourth worst winning percentage in the NFC from 1992 through 2023. The Commanders are now the fifth team since the merger to make the conference championship game after finishing the previous year with a bottom two record in the league. And a lot of people
are trying to think who the other three are would be. Since 1992, the fourth worst winning percentage in the NFC.
I don't know what Carolina was the year before.
Chicago's probably Detroit,
probably. Yeah, Arizona.
A lot of fans are asking this, and I've given up on it. I've given up of any hope or notion that this is the case. Will this be the wake-up call? How much does this sting Jerry and Steven? And I'm like, no, I've given up on that. That yacht has sailed.
Someone messaged us over the weekend and said, Jerry will just say, see, we competed with the two teams
Look at what we have to face.
Yeah.
Look at the strength of our division.
Oh, I know. We competed with, we were in those games. Yeah. We were in those games against those teams.
And as Bobby pointed out, this might be, you know, Mike Zimmer's way into the head coach. Yeah.
if Washington somehow miraculously wins a Super Bowl, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they do, if they win a Super Bowl the day after, They will name Mike Zimmer head coach, and they'll say, this is the guy who last beat the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
The LeBron stopper.
That's it. That was the last time. That's the last time Washington lost a football game was that one when Dallas went to D.C. back in November. They've won every game. And so Jerry will go, boy, we beat them. And boy, we had them right where we wanted them at the end of the season with a skeleton crew.
Yep.
We weren't prepared for Marcus Mariota. That kind of threw us off a little bit, but we were prepared. Yep. That went down to the last second. That's what we're going to get.
He'll reverse it and say, look, I mean, you want us to just easily go through the two teams playing for a right to make it to the Super Bowl? Well, this was 5-0 in the turnover battle, and the 15-win curse strikes again. The 2024 Lions and the 2011 Packers are the only 15-win teams to not win a playoff game.
Oh,
remember in the NBA, we'll always get that stat for amount of wins and how it can be a kiss of death for you. There was another stat that was thrown out there this week. Here it is. The teams that won 15 or more regular season games the last 35 seasons, not one of them won the championship.
Yeah, Minnesota lost, right?
Good job. 98 Vikings, 2024 Steelers. That team we knew was a fraud. 07 Pats, 2011 Packers, 2015 Carolina, 2024 Lions, and the Chiefs can keep hope alive. Not one of them won the championship with 15 or more regular season
wins. It's insane, man, because like the sport comes down to these one games, and one game, the margins are so small in this league. The best of the worst team in the playoffs, the margins are so fragile that Detroit was up 7-3 with the ball at about the Washington 30. On a 3rd-and-2, they decide to pass, they fumble, strip sack. Instead of just doing what they do best, running the ball, they were gashing them already. Who knows how that game changed? It could have been 14-3 at that point. I mean, that's potentially that's the complete game changer because Washington scores in the next play. Then you continue more turnovers, and you have the 12-minute on the field penalty. Everything that had to go wrong went wrong.
The big question for me in this game, Bob, was at halftime, like, are the Commanders going to be able to keep up? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to match this first half pace? And they did.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they were fantastic. And I was texting around with a couple different people over the weekend, and somebody outside of Dallas, outside of Washington, had replied back to me at like the third quarter of this game. And they were like, this is Cliff Kingsbury putting together a cover letter. This is him putting together a cover letter for his next job. This is him showing, all right, you guys want to talk about Aaron Glenn? You want to talk about Ben Johnson? Let's see if Ben Johnson can keep up with me, and let's see if Aaron Glenn can stop me, because they can't. And Cliff was, you could see it, he was fired up. Every time they'd cut to him on the sideline after score, that did look like a guy who wants to be a head coach again. And he did an excellent job calling this game. And Jaden Daniels, I've been telling you guys since the spring, fantastic.
Yeah.
The new prince of the National Football League, the poise and the control. The first rookie with 275 yards and a 70% completion percentage in a playoff game. Pulled off the largest spread upset by a rookie quarterback in NFL playoff history as the Lions were 9.5-point favorites. 9.5. And you have your pump the brakes second year, C.J. Stroud, RG3 with what happened with the rest of his career. That's the only thing we can hope for now in this division, watching Jaden Daniels ball out like this.
I mean, look, the league makes adjustments to you, and then it's on you to make adjustments to the league, and that's probably what's going to happen. And you know, they might not win 12 games next year, right? There might be a little bit of a dip. You know, just likewise, the Lions probably aren't going to win 15 games next year. The Chiefs are the only one that seem to win like 12 to 15 every year. But it's like, this is, if you're trying to find some silver lining here, you have to sit there and think, they'll have a drop. He'll get hurt. Something will happen. He ain't that, you know, he's not all that. Well, he is. I mean, he was that in college. It wasn't like, this wasn't a projection play. Caleb Williams was the projection pick. Jaden put the product out.
Yeah, I mean, what you got to hope for, you mentioned you got to hope for a drop off or something like that. What you got to hope for is that this culture change in Washington is genuinely coming from that coaching staff and they start getting picked over. That, like, Cliff gets a job, Joe Witt gets a job.
We're already hoping they get picked over 1 year in.
I mean, and it's something where, when you look at it, it does make sense. I think everybody felt like Quinn had built a good staff this year. Like, I mean, you got former head coach on there, Anthony Lynn. You had Brian Johnson, who was a really top-tier coach. Cliff, who was trying to get back to where he needed to be. Joe Witt was kind of ascending. So, I mean, it's come together in a really good way for Washington, and really quickly, faster than I would have thought. But I mean, it's,
this game was so freaking fun in the first half.
Great.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Track me. I mean, you expected it to be a high scoring game. I mean, the over was about to be hit. I mean, the over, I think it got hit. It was 5 points away at half.
Dan Campbell devastated in the post.
At the end of the day, after all of this, the loss today, I still, you know, I love the guys, and I respect them, and I appreciate everything they've put into it. But, you know, it's not the time to talk about what a great year or how many went. It just, you know, it's because at this moment, I don't think any of us feel that way. You know, the whole point of doing what you do is to get to the show, man. It's why you play this game. And we fell short.
Gutted. Absolutely gutted. We will tell you what we're hearing about the Cowboys head coach opening at 6:40 this morning.
Is he, and I don't think so, but I saw one of the things being suggested over there. They're like, is Dan Campbell starting to develop the can't get it done reputation? They choke away the San Francisco game, and then they fall flat against Washington.
I haven't gone one step in that direction yet.
I haven't either.
I think likability is playing into my mind. I feel really bad for Dan Campbell. I feel bad for the Lions. I kind of feel bad for Jake Rietma, Detroit diehard back there, who we're going to torture at 7:20 this morning in the expressway. But no, I'm not. I'm going to ask Jake, are these lunatics in Detroit who broke into his property, or any of them calling and screaming for Dan Campbell's job? I haven't gone one step there.
I mean, I don't think that I'm even remotely close to going there. This football happens. Like, sometimes, like, games just don't go your way.
And 16 people on IR.
Yeah,
16.
Six starters on defense.
Oh, it was, I think they ended up on IR with like it was like 6,000 snaps from their 2023 team. Now, okay, does it? What about Aaron Glenn?
That's a later topic, Bobby. Yeah. We have a read the email. all right, we got shout outs for Emilio, sick as a dog, and still listening. Cowboy Jones is still hitting us up. Happy MLK Day and inauguration. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. And the numbers are strong with you watching at home or wherever you are on the YouTube, fan cam, and Twitch. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. You've been doing a nice job with trivia so far, Choppy. So the rookie quarterbacks to make a conference championship in NFL history. Jaden becomes the sixth one.
Mark Sanchez.
Good job. 09.
Joe Flacco.
Good job. 08.
Ben did it.
Good
I don't remember what
job.
04?
04. 04. One you're not going to get. One was very, very recent in the NFC.
One was very recent in the NFC.
Late draft pick.
Oh, Brock Purdy.
Good job, 2022.
And then the other one was...
If you say this, I know you saw this, the stat in the graphic.
1999. Oh! Well, Kurt Warner was technically a rookie, was he not?
It's a no-name.
Sean King.
Sean King. You did see the stat. Nice job.
I did not.
Jaden added to the list.
It's tremendous. I mean, like he, and you know, of the four or the, I guess the six. I mean, he's really the only one that is leading the charge.
And then he's got some stat about taking out like five number one picks. His 191 passing yards against the Lions blitz, second most in a game by a rookie since 2016. The passer rating was 114.7 against the blitz during the regular season. That was the highest by a rookie since 2016. The Lions could not and did not generate a single pressure with a four-man pass rush.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I mean, of those players, like I said, he's the only one that did it by himself, like led the charge. Like, he was the one that, everybody else was along for the ride. Sanchez was along for the ride. Purdy was not so much along for the ride. Like, he did a lot of things.
Yeah.
Ben, defense. They had a great defense. Sanchez had a great defense. Flacco obviously had a great defense.
Sean King
had a great defense. It's really Purdy and Jaden that were just tremendous. And like, I mean, yeah, you can point to a lot of things that the Lions could have done in that game. At the end of the day, they couldn't stop him. You know, like you score 31 points, you should win a playoff game. They could not stop him.
Between all four conference title game quarterbacks that are going to be playing next weekend, they have 34 rushing touchdowns between them this year. 34 rushing touchdowns.
That's sign of the times.
Jeez.
Sign of the times.
You think Dak will ever rush for 9 touchdowns again?
I mean, he used to.
He used to get like 6. He's like he used 6 to get 7, his, yeah. He used to get his draw.
The only thing Dak can do 9 of is those sweet tees upstairs that he's lining up in front of him in the broadcast booth. 877-881-1053. Franklin LaFranco, injury attorney text line. The brand new things that we are hearing about the Cowboys coaching search and one name in the building. I don't want you to spit out or throw your morning coffee. We'll take you inside the Star next on Sean and RJ. Oh, my cell phone was lit over the weekend.
Litty.
Sending out tweets and getting phone calls from media members. Oh my gosh, where are you getting this from? Oh, well, can I run with this? Oh,
gentlemen.
What's the insight on that? Brian brought us with a phone call as well yesterday morning. This is Inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Let's spill the beans. We'll lay out the menu, and you pick whatever you want to focus on. The Cowboys have interviewed Kellen Moore and Robert Saleh. Leslie Frazier is supposed to take place today. They can now request to interview Ben Johnson and or Aaron Glenn. Unable to do it during the week of the wild card round when they were dragging their feet, caught off guard by Mike McCarthy, and had to wait until the Lions season ended. Ian Rappaport with another Dion gut punch, at least for me. Rappaport says they have not interviewed and they don't have a Deion Sanders interview scheduled either.
So, like we wondered last week, does that explain Leslie Frazier then? If they're not going to interview him, if they're not going to interview Deion, then they do. Then they got to find a second Rooney Rule candidate that they're going to interview.
And
what a stunt!
It is a stunt, and they scheduled it before Detroit was out, so they couldn't schedule Aaron Glenn because I assume they want to talk to Aaron Glenn anyway. And this would have given them an opportunity if they wanted to hire somebody. They found their guy. They could have hired whoever they wanted to.
You know what it says. Stunt. What it says to me is. Look, they scheduled two interviews before they scheduled Kellen Moore, but they got Kellen Moore done first. It felt very much to me like in the process watching their administrative scheduling of all this, it feels like we want to just be ready to hire Kellen Moore whenever he's free. That's what it feels like to me right now.
Josina Anderson does point out the Cowboys and a formal interview of Deion has to be given permission from the Colorado AD. So the Colorado AD has to give the permission. Steve Sarkisian is out as the Cowboys, according to David Moore, did not put in a request to interview Sark, and Sark signs the extension in Austin.
7-year extension. That's weird that you got to get permission from the Colorado. Like Deion, think Deion's actually going to adhere to that? He would just be like, I just quit. And then somebody will pay my buyout. Is that how that would work?
Yeah, you would think so. I guess you'd have to have some level of certainty that I'm getting this job.
Jordan Schultz says Aaron Glenn is a name to watch closely. One league source mentioned Jerry holding him in especially high regard. Starred at A&M, not only played in Dallas, is from Houston as well.
Yeah, he was, he would have been, what year was that, 05 he was here. He's always been a big locker room guy and stuff like that. I'm not totally buying that that's enough familiarity for them. 1 year spent here, even if they've... I don't think that Jerry and Aaron Glenn are just like keeping in touch over the years like that. Maybe they are, and I don't know what I'm talking about. But in general, it doesn't... I think that one feels a little more smoke-like than reality.
The name that may excite you that we just talked about, it was a brand new development. Calvin Watkins was on it first. The Cowboys want to talk to Ben Johnson. According to Calvin, Adam Schefter on McAfee quickly shutting that down.
I don't expect Ben Johnson to be in play in Dallas. I think Jerry has other ideas. I think Ben Johnson has other ideas. And don't think that he's a logical leading candidate there right now. Not because of his coaching, but he's getting a head coaching job. He is getting one. It's just not going to be in Dallas.
He shut that down real quick. Jerry has other ideas. Like, the feeling that comes off of that is like, Jerry's like, ew, no.
No.
Are you kidding me?
You know, it's a little troubling that an offensive, one of the top candidates isn't interested in your job.
Of course.
That's a little, and it's not like,
I don't think they're interested in him either, though.
I agree. That's troubling on its own, but that's a different topic.
That's troubling, too.
But, like, the fact that he's interested in the Raiders. Now, not only do the Raiders not have a quarterback, they're also not in position to necessarily draft one in the first round.
You know what? The
Cowboys do have a quarterback.
What it might say, though, honestly, is, I mean, Dan Campbell still does have really great relationships here in Dallas. I wonder if their mutual lack of interest is any sort of Dan Campbell, like, yeah, y'all would not work together. Just, you know, Ben, I wouldn't go there. Dallas, I wouldn't go with Ben. Yeah. Y'all are not going to be a good match.
Because he has said, Ben, at least that's the reports, that he wants equal control with the GM. Like, he wants to basically almost be able to pick his GM.
So the coaching nugget that got lit up over the weekend came from myself.
Well,
as a couple of people have just been hyping up Brian Schottenheimer to me nonstop. And one of the messages I got was Cowboy fans are about to be very, very unhappy. Someone being discussed in the building that doesn't have that head coaching experience. And at first I was like, okay, Al Harris. And then the follow up was, no, Al Harris is not coming back. So that's the second tweet that I sent out. So I was like, okay, Brian Schottenheimer. As soon as I tweeted out, I can't see, no way can my brain go there that Jerry Jones names Brian Schottenheimer the replacement. But I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, that they are absolutely in love with him, or Stephen Jones particularly is in love with Brian Schottenheimer. My phone rings. some reporters in the know saying, yep, that is something that I've been hearing as well. Bobby, what can you tell us about Schottenheimer?
So Schottenheimer, we talked a lot last week about, you know, the McCarthy relationship wasn't always great with the players, and it got better over time. Schottenheimer gets a lot of credit for being the mediator that helped players understand McCarthy more and McCarthy understand the players more. And he's somebody who I think players really, really like. I would not want to hire Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach, but if you're just exclusively saying a culture hire or somebody whose biggest attribute is going to be culture, Schottenheimer's biggest attribute will be culture, CEO, locker room leader. Guys love him. They feel like he cares about me. He wants me to do better. He gives discipline when it's needed. Like, he is considered a really strong leader. And so if that's what you're looking for, he would be somebody that would make sense that they'd want to talk to, I think. Like I said, I still would not want to hire him.
He's never been a head coach, right?
No, he's never been a head coach, but I think there's just been enough things philosophically about the way he approaches offense and different things that I wouldn't want to do it. But I think as a leader and as somebody who would be a culture setter, it makes sense that they like him in that respect.
Before you go off, Choppy, which I'm hoping you do, the sense I'm getting is, at the very least, if not head coach, like, they would want Schottenheimer's hands all over the offense. Like, he would have maybe a ton of offensive control. That's how much Schottenheimer love I've been hearing.
Look, I get the logic from the Cowboys' perspective. This is a very Cowboy move. They like comfort. You know, they like to I feel like they want to know something about the head coach. They don't want some random coming in here. So I understand it from that perspective. And I also get it. Like, he's been in the building. He knows how to work with Dak. There's a continuity aspect to that. Totally get that. You can't sell this.
No.
All right? Like,
no. I'd rather have Kellen.
Yes.
I'd much rather have Kellen.
Now, listen.
And being able to sell it to, and I don't want Kellen.
Being able to sell it to the fan base should not even be in the top 10 of reasons to hire or not hire a guy. Right? Hire the best guy you can.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about Brian Schottenheimer. He was an OC for, you know, good teams. Like, Seattle was a good team. The Jets were a good team. But their offenses weren't exactly, oh, man, jumping off the page at you. This would be a unsellable hire. Might not be a bad hire. Like, I don't know. I know nothing about him. But you just can't. When you have Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Deion Sanders, John Gruden, you have a billion other guys out there that you could easily sell to this fan base, which I think matters over there. And we saw the apathy in Oxnard. You bring Aaron Glenn in here, you bring Ben Johnson, you bring John Gruden, you bring Deion Sanders, those stands are packed.
Yep.
You bring R2P2, run, pass, punt. And I think you're going to see half of what we saw last year.
That
shouldn't matter, but it does.
I think that there are, like I said, I wouldn't want to hire him as the head coach, but I think there's a ton to respect about him as somebody who, like, he's Marty's son. Marty was in the NFL for forever. Brian's been in the NFL for forever. Brian has been in a bunch of different buildings and has an understanding of how the NFL operates. He is 100% comfortable. Not a lot of coaches are. He is 100% comfortable coaching in Dallas. Like, he has no, it doesn't bother him. The noise doesn't get to him. He has a great relationship with guys like Dak, CeeDee. Like, they really, really respect him. And he connects really well, too, with these college players. These new college players that are coming out, you'll hear guys who come out of meetings with them, even if they don't end up in Dallas, who say they loved talking to Schottenheimer.
So after I tweeted that out, Jimmy Johnson goes on Fox and gives his thoughts on the opening.
This decision is tied directly to the quarterback, Dak Prescott. He signed a $240 million contract, got a no-trade clause. He's had tremendous success in this system, so it doesn't make sense to bring in a new offensive system. The two key figures here, Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for Dallas, you know, and like I said, Dak's done a great job in that system. The other key figure is Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. He is very close to Dak. He was a coordinator prior to Schottenheimer. Now, Jerry, he could surprise us with a decision, but I think those two key guys are the ones you start with.
I was really surprised that even Jimmy brought up Schottenheimer's name. I haven't heard anyone else publicly do that. He did it on national television. And I was like, oh, what does Jimmy Johnson know? Does it surprise you that I say that Al Harris is not expected to return?
Not as much. You started hearing a little bit, and I don't know how much. I've heard a lot of people really like Al Harris and think Al Harris is really good. I've heard other people who think there's a little bit of, okay, don't just assign credit to a position coach because there's been success there. That's not always the case. So I know that there's at least mixed thought. It does seem a little convenient now that his time's up that I hear more of the negative thought than I did when he was here. But you heard a little bit of chatter that maybe there weren't as many fans in the building as it seemed like there were when he was coaching here.
Elsewhere, Choppy, the Chicago Bears are the NFC version of the Jets. They're interviewing everybody. The Mike McCarthy news is not final there, even though you're supposed to be going on Chicago radio today. Well, yes, the Bears interviewing Eddie George, and Schefter reports they called the Steelers to see if a trade could happen for Tomlin.
Yeah, Tomlin's got a no trade, so he'd be able to stop that anyway if he wanted to. But yeah, the Eddie George, I mean, Eddie was conference coach of the year in college. He's coached at Tennessee State. He's done well there in 4 years, and this is like he's a player, like a former player, and that's kind of the trend that's going around in the league. But yeah, I would like the radio station Chicago's like, Mike's the front runner. You want to come on and talk about him? And I'm like, who's the front runner? Like, I'm not surprised, I'm not stunned, but I like.
Well, they're radio guys too. They don't.
That's true, but like that's the buzz. The buzz up there is that they're the front runner, and if that's the case. I mean, that's probably, would that be the best job in this offseason cycle?
Chicago?
Depends what you think of Trevor. Are you including us?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a better job than this one.
Oh, it's definitely a better job than this
one. Well, there's more upside with the quarterback.
But upside it also equals question mark.
Sure.
We don't know what Caleb is. That front office could be much worse than this one.
And it depends on... What are you looking for? If Coach Freeman was looking to cement their legacy, Dallas is a better job than Chicago.
All right, we will laugh at the biggest suffering NFL fan in the building. It's actually not us here on DFW Sports Station. And coming up next, stop saying that the NFL is cheating for the Kansas City Chiefs. The armpit did not get cheated. I'll tell you why next on 105.3 The Fan.